When God of Carnage, Yasmina Reza's play about seemingly civilized adults acting like savages, opened a year ago, it got great reviews, won 3 Tonys, including Best Play. All of the original cast members were nominated for Tonys, with Marcia Gay Harden winning for Best Actress. A new cast has just come in, the third, and 2 of its members are returning to the play, Janet McTeer from the 2008 London production and Jeff Daniels from the original Broadway cast. But this time, he's in a different role. They join me now, and I'm very pleased to welcome them back to our show. Hi.
Hi.
Janet, the play was written in French, so the first production was in France?
Actually, I think the first production was in Germany, and then she did it in France.
And then it was translated into English by Christopher Hampton.
Yeah.
Is the script the same here as it was in London, or has the language been Americanized?
No, yes, it has been Americanized, or most of it has. And also, when we were in England, we played it as if we were French. So... The park was French, the clafoutis was a clafoutis, my name was Véronique, and we were French people. And
but you're playing the same character, Veronica.
No, I'm playing James Gandolfini's part, and Jeff is playing the Marcia Gay Harden part.
She's wonderful.
Well, it's interesting, Kent Stott played Michael here and in London. He played it here with a British accent. You're doing it with an American accent.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Was that a given when you took the role, or did the director, Matthew Marcus?
No, not at all. I just figured it would be more of a challenge for myself.
And it's just great. I mean, watching her slave over every single word in rehearsal, she's just nailing it. And to be honest, it takes a lot of guts for an actor to do an American accent in front of an American audience. And she's just, I think she's just nailing it.
Well, there are some actors. In fact, I think of Alfred Molina in an earlier Yasmina Reza play, stunning audiences when they realized that he really was British.
Yeah.
Jeff, you were here last spring when you were playing Alan, the lawyer who can't stop talking on his cell phone. And now you're playing Michael, the role that James Gandolfini was in last year. Why did you want to come back in the play? Had you been envying him that role?
No, I actually went through the whole run that we did and never once thought about playing it. I thought when we left the show, that was it. And then the producers came back a few months later and said, look, would you like to flip roles? And the creative challenge of doing that and doing it on Broadway is at least rare. And then Janet was attached and it's such a wonderful relationship between Michael and Veronica that half of what I do depends on who Veronica is. And knowing Janet's work, it just made it, you know, the decision that much easier. And at the end of the day, Jim was great. Gandolfini was great. He used himself beautifully.
Wonderful body language.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's what I'm doing, is that I'm using myself. And because the fact that Jim and I are different people, it's going to be the same, just slightly different.
Well, Patty Duke told me recently that when she was in The Miracle Worker with Anne Bancroft, she knew all of Bancroft's lines, which made it easier later when she played Annie Sullivan in another production. How aware are you of what other people are saying when you're on stage?
Well, you're listening, but certainly the fact that I did Alan for 7 months was... Whenever a cue came for Alan, which is being played now by Dylan Baker, I would twitch. Certainly in the first week of rehearsal, I'd twitch a little bit. But that goes away because you're thinking Michael, you are Michael, and eventually that leaves. Yeah.
Now, Ken Stott, was he in the original production with you, Janet? So are the producers trying to mix this whole thing up, people from different casts moving in and out of the show?
You know, I think probably it's just really simple. The fact is, it's incredibly hard work doing the play because it requires an enormous amount of energy, and
because it's an ensemble work and
all four are on stage at the same time, and it goes from sort of level 2 of tension to about level 100 in the space of about 40 minutes. So it's like running a sort of mid-length race, and by the time you're sort of been on the stage an hour, you look around at everyone else on the stage and we're all of us sort of sweating buckets because we're so hot, and it's just so it's a heavy duty thing. And it's a bit like, well, certainly playing for us two, it's like playing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, really. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of not sort of easy, although you do, of course, you get fed by the laughter in a different kind of way. So I think that the truth is it's just the fun of the play. It's just it's a fun play to do. I had a great time doing it in London. And so when there was a possibility of doing it again here, I just thought that'd be really good fun.
It's interesting that you mentioned Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, because that is a serious play with a lot of laugh lines.
Yeah.
And this play veers between comedy and drama. In London, it won the Olivier for Best New Comedy. But hasn't Yasmina Reza said that she thinks of her plays as tragedies and doesn't like it when audiences laugh? I can't believe she's serious about that.
Well, I think it's that thing of that comedy is a lesser art form. So my guess is that that's partially her reaction. But, but you know, we're directed to play it straight. We're directed to play the anger, the pain, and that makes it twice as funny. You know, she's also the first one to come back after seeing it and loving the fact that people are laughing so much. But I think it's more of a, she thinks it's more than just some simple little comedy, which it is.
But there is a lot of physical comedy in this.
There is, yeah.
Well, for you maybe, not for us. We're up there going through it. So.
I mean, it has to be very carefully choreographed, does it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of those technical things.
I don't
want
to give away some of the things, although I'm sure by now most of our listeners have read about some of the surprises. But who knows? Somebody might go there and really feel spoiled if I mention.
They still sneak up on you, whether you know them or not.
Yeah.
So since you. In a sense, this is new for both of you. Did you just start from scratch? Rehearsal?
Yeah, I think so. I think the only thing that one did know was, you know, when we first did it in London, you know, Matthew hadn't done the play, obviously, before. And so the territory of it, the actual how to play it, the space of the acting, the style of the acting, was the style of the comedy, all of those kind of things was sort of uncharted territory. And I think when we rehearsed it over there, that's when we kind of realized how to do it and how to make it funny.
And that said pretty much the standard for everything that's
and
fun.
So and I think that's the, you know, it was the same in when Jeff did it originally here. And so the greatest thing, I think, that both Jeff and I had going into this production is that you know the territory. You know what you know the territory. You know how high it has to be. You know how low it has to be. And you know the temperature. And those things took us a long time in London to come to grips with. And once you've done it, you realize. I mean, when we first did it in London, I remember rehearsing it, and all of us just sitting there going, I can't believe this is ever going to be even vaguely funny apart from two bits, and being so shocked when the audiences laughed. And I remember meeting guys, I was doing Mary Stuart when they were doing it here first time, and meeting them all and all going, I mean, how do you make it funny? And I'll go, just do it straight, trust me, just do it straight, it'll be really funny. And so we do have, that's a given for us.
Well, it does feel like a very American play, at least in this production. It's even hard for me to imagine it being French. But Matthew Warchus, he says that he sees his play as being akin to a musical score. So when you're working out those different things, in a sense, you're really a string quartet.
Tony Bennett was one of the people that came about a year ago, came to the show and came into the dressing room, and it was just great to see him. Never had met him, and he sat there and he said, it's one of the best quartets I've ever seen. And that really is what it is. It's just when it gets moving, and like Janet was saying, the only exploration we really have to do is within ourselves to reach that fevered pitch that we know it has to be. I mean, Matthew has already found that. So once we get that, and you get that driving around the corner on two wheels and that 100-mile-an-hour pace that leads to this moment, then we're there. But it is a true four-hander in that everybody scores. There are four leading roles, and it's just a wonderful kind of sharing of one play.
My guests are Jeff Daniels and Janet McTeer, two of those four actors, the other two, Dylan Baker and now Lucy Liu, who began doing the performances of this third version of the Broadway version of God of Carnage on March 2nd, just a few days ago. It's at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater at 242 West 45th Street. And it's scheduled to run in through July, is that it?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you think they'll just bring in another crew?
Who knows?
James Gandolfini playing your role part?
I think Jimmy's done. I'd be very surprised if Gandolfini came back, but if he did, I'd buy a ticket, that's for sure.
Well, we should point out what this play is about. It's about couples meeting to discuss an incident in which one of the sons hit the son of the other couple with a stick in a local playground. You're playing one of those couples, Veronica and Michael, the parents of the kid who's been hit. The other couple is Alan, a lawyer, now being played by Dylan Baker, and Annette, Lucy Liu, who's in wealth management. And I'm assuming they're meant to be better off than you, the two of you, Veronica and Michael. No?
Not necessarily.
Because I get the feeling that this is, when they meet, there's an element of sizing each other's social and economic standing up.
I wouldn't have said sort of social and economic, but definitely sort of philosophical.
Yes, philosophical to be sure. And parenting skills are questioned early on of each couple.
Well, and at first the couples are on the best behavior, and it seems like they could become friends.
Civil, very civil, polite.
It's a kind of a comedy of manners at the beginning.
I think of it as no card play.
Uh-huh. And then what happens? It suddenly becomes a free-for-all with characters forming alliances, breaking apart, changing sides, with strains in each of the couple's relationships becoming apparent. Is this really, do you think, a play about how fragile a seemingly happy marriage can be?
Oh, yes. Definitively. Yeah, definitely. Isn't it about the whole thing about being a grown-up, isn't it? That when you're a grown-up, we all slowly but surely learn how to behave like grown-ups. And it seems to me, anyway, the more grown-up one gets, the more likely you are when people split up that people go, oh, my God, I never would have imagined it. That's extraordinary. They seem so happy. That, you know, we all become terribly good at, for the sake of the children, for the sake of the parents, for the sake of society, for the sake of your mortgage, you just keep it all together and you keep it all going. And that, in actual fact, if you ask a lot of people what split up their marriage, it will probably be something quite slight. Mm-hmm. That eventually somebody said something and they went, right, that's it. I cannot deal with the fact that he never buys the coffee. I just can't deal with it anymore. And that becomes the sort of symptom, the straw that, and that's sort of what the play is, I think.
Well, in playing these two different men, did you think about your own marriage?
No. Happily, I'm still okay. At least the last time I heard, things were going well. No, it really is kind of a wonderful kind of you fall in love and you marry someone, and as Michael says, you know, nobody tells you anything when you start out because there's nothing to tell you. It's just a huge gamble. You're going to Vegas when you walk down the aisle. And, you know, now however many years later that Michael and Veronica are together or me in my own personal situation, you look up and you hope that you made the right choice way back in your 20s. And Michael and Veronica are starting to question where they did. And certainly that's what's wonderful about, I think, this version of the play is that Janet had this wonderful idea that to make this the biggest fight in their marriage, and that really ups the stakes and has made it kind of oh my God, we're watching the mother of all fights between this couple happen right in front of our eyes.
Now, the sort of thing that we're seeing here with these cast changes is something that's become the norm on Broadway. Sometimes it succeeds, as it did with August Osage County and Proof. In other cases, like The Producers, it didn't seem to work out all that well. Is this sort of thing being done in London as well? The reliance on bringing stars in to replace the stars who originated the roles?
I'm not sure, really. I guess one of the things that is really genuinely nice, I think, about the recession is that people have got a bit less snobby. Certainly in England, there was a lot of snobbish about, oh, I do film, I don't do telly. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I do theater, I don't do, you know.
Or I will be I will originate a role, but I'm not going to come in and replace Janet McTeer.
Yeah, all that. And it's just rubbish. You know, a good role is a good role, a good job is a good job. And if it interests you, it's great to do. And one of the things that I like in Cirian McCallan, who I adore, one of his great birthdays, I don't quite remember which one it was, somebody said to him, what do you want to do? And he said he wanted to play a dame in a pantomime, which was sort of a previously really looked down on thing, and he wanted to be in Coronation Street, which is a soap that has been running for 700 years that he grew up on. And he did both. And the thing that I thought was so magnificent about that is one of our greatest classical actors went, oh, go on, don't you dare look down on this. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this.
Is that happening in American acting as well?
I did Dumb and Dumber. I mean, where do I have to go? I pioneered that trail.
Well, this is a move up for you. In the case of Janet, last time she was here, she was a doomed queen. So
I know. Now I'm a doomed wife. Oh, God. I just played doomed.
I agree with Janet. A great gig's a great gig. And God, a carnage being on Broadway in a hit comedy. And the reaction we get is just a wonderful job.
Just thinking about that recently when I was reading the obituaries of Peter Graves, who always played the sterling hero, and then he was in Airplane playing a really awful person. Thank you both so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Jeff Daniels and Janet McTeer, two of the four stars, along with Dylan Baker and Lucy Liu, of the latest incarnation of God of Carnage, at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater at 242 West 45th Street. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.